The word that I kept getting, and I said this yesterday for prayer, was this word of thankfulness. Thankfulness kept coming to me. And, you know, the thing about it is that it's so easy to be thankful. Ooh, that is really biting me. Gonna have to put it there. Okay. Is that it's so easy to be thankful when things are provided for you, right? Guess what? Guess what? Like he said, let it rain. It's raining on you all the time. It is raining on you all the time. The only thing you have to do is believe it. Believe it. So, you know, the word thankfulness, like I said, it was coming to me and coming to me. And it said, and yesterday, as I was praying, it was praying like the veil is being torn away from people's eyes about this good God. This good God that has provided everything you will ever need in this life. Everything that it's ripped away, that it's ripped away concerning all of his goodness, you know, his faithfulness. I'm just going to read what I wrote. His involvement in your life, his gifts for you, his love for you. And it happened the moment you said, I do. You said, I do to Jesus. So thankfulness is just a result of trust. It's a byproduct of trust. So in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord. Don't lean. And I've got this in parentheses. Leaning meaning support yourself. Trust yourself. Because God is always true. But every man, symptom, negative thought is the lie. And don't lean unto your own understanding. It's get his understanding. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, for with prayer and thanksgiving. Because guess what? It says that, again, with that rain, he has everything you will ever need always ready and available, because it says that he knows your need even before you have it. So it's a constant flow for you. Request be made known to him. Our enemy only has one power, and that is to put thoughts into you. That's the only power he has, but don't receive the lie. Just like no one has power over you and can't make you do anything, because guess what? It's your choice to believe it. I just wrote this down. You know, the old expression, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's so true. The words that are the lie from the devil, if you don't believe them, they will never hurt you. Never hurt you. You were created with individual power, but it's with Christ, not by yourself. So Matthew 18:19, that's why when you come together with just two, comes together and agrees, guess what? It's done. That's how much power. A thankful heart, not a worrying heart. You are more important than the birds. And I said this yesterday. The birds are given a kingdom. All animals are given the kingdom of this earth, right? And everything that is provided for them. So you never see a bird starving, ever. You know, the only time you ever hear of animals having issues is the ones that are in captivity. They're the ones that's more susceptible to things. So when you believe you're free, you're free. You're free to receive the kingdom that you're in. Yes. With everything supplied. That's your kingdom. You know, I'm just going to end it on that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I love that. That's awesome. Awesome. The Luke chapter 12 says, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. All right. So we're going to just get right into it, pick up where we left off last week. And so let's pick up with 1 John chapter 5. I made some really strong and bold statements last week that I'm just going to start in, and if, you know, let's just go for it. You just ready to go for it?
Let's do it.
Okay. I mean, I'm teaching a series, you've got the goods. You have everything that you need for life and godliness. You have everything that you need to be an effective witness. And so now it's about not just knowing and growing, but it's about going. See? And so we have to start from a place. I'm going to ask Doug Hill to come here for just a moment. Doug Hill, I'm talking to you. Can you come here for just a minute, please? So Doug is my, here, turn this way and just yeah. Can you kind of flex for me a little bit? Yeah, no. You know, I get the opportunity to work out with this man occasionally because
I'm never there.
but here's the thing. Doug is going to, for a moment, and I'm going to call you up and have you sit down and call you up so you have to really pay attention this morning.
Okay.
Doug is my representation of the perfect man.
Wow.
You okay now? I am the representation of not that for a moment. But a lot of times we live life looking there and recognizing that I'm here. And so one day, hopefully, I'm going to be this. When I grow up, I want to be this, right? You know, and are you uncomfortable yet?
A little bit.
and so, you know, this represents spiritual perfection, represents, you know, getting your prayer life right, represents, you know, getting doing everything right, living a holy life. This represents all of that, okay? Are you with me on that? And so we look at ourselves this way, like, okay, one day I want to be that way. One day. And so we keep trying to reach for this and attain this goal, but every time it just is always out of reach. You can walk that way just a little bit. It's like the closer I get, the more, yeah, are you with me on that? It's like there's always something else. There's always some other step. There's always, and that's probably a wrong mentality.
Amen.
You can sit down. Thank you.
Are you calling me back?
I will call you back in a little bit. Thank you, Doug Hill. So let's look at 1 John chapter 5, and let's take a look at, because this is where I ended last week, verse 18. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God does not sin. But he that is born of God, begotten of God, keeps himself, guards himself, and the wicked one touches him not. The wicked one does not touch him. You know what, guys? If you would, pull up the New King James Version on this. And I'll try to read from that this morning. The wicked one touches him not. So let's look at it again here. Because this is a scripture that may not make sense to a lot of people, and so we just pass over it. We know that whosoever is born of... Let's see. Whoops, that's the wrong one. Here. Doom. Isn't it amazing that you got all these translations now that you can just get on your phone? All right. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Now that's pretty amazing statement right there.
Yeah.
Let's just deal with it.
That's all right.
Okay? Somebody asked me, are you a sinner? My answer to that question is no, I am not.
Amen.
And he was just like, "You can't say that." I said, "Well, yeah, I just did. I am a son of God. I've been made the righteousness of God." Okay? And so I've just decided to declare what God has said about me. Now, he said, "So you're saying you haven't sinned?" I said, "No, I didn't say that. Your question was, am I a sinner?" The answer to that question is, no, I am not. Now, 1 John, just so that you are not confused, 1 John chapter 2 says that if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Let's go back and take a look at that in 1 John chapter 2. So much quicker. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. I'll just wait for it to come up on screen. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone does, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Oh, man. Look at verse 2. "And he himself is the propitiation," or the atoning sacrifice, "for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Now, I'm going to pause that thought there, because to lay this out properly so that you get this, let's go all the way back to the Old Covenant, to Judges chapter 6. This is something that I shared with the men on Friday night. Judges chapter 6 is the story about Gideon. Okay? And so Gideon was a man that was the least likely to succeed. And so what happened is the children of Israel found themselves in a situation that the Midianites were coming in and destroying their crops, destroying their cattle. And so the Word of God says that they were greatly impoverished by what the Midianites were doing. So in Judges chapter 6, this is an amazing truth that is going to so apply to our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me pull it up here. Let's just look at verse 3. "So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them, and they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey, and they would come up with their livestock and their tents." So in verse 6, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Why do we wait to the last possible moment to cry out to the Lord? Why do we wait till we're impoverished? Why do we wait till we're sick? Why do we wait, you know, for all of that? I mean, they should have cried out to begin with. At the first sign of the Amalekites, at the first sign of the Midianites, they should have cried out then. And so God sent a prophet to them, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord," this is verse 8, "Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians." What is he trying to get them to do? He's trying to, like, the Midianites were not as powerful as the Egyptians. The situation, they weren't in bondage to the Midianites and the Amalekites. They were in slavery to the Egyptians. And so what God did to rescue them out of Egypt was more powerful than what was going on in their life right there at that moment. And so he's trying to get them to look back to him, the source of their salvation, the source of their victory, the one who did it all. You may be you may be personally dealing with personal challenges, and something may be happening in your life, and you may not have real direction for your life. But look to the God who's delivered you in the past. Look to the one that when it was impossible, it looked like that you couldn't, that you wouldn't come out of it, that God delivered you. And look to those times that God has performed amazing miracles in your life. That same God is right there with you. That same Father is right there with you. He says, I'm the one that delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all who oppressed you. I drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And then I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, talking about those that lived in the land, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. This is so powerful. I was studying this last night. I'm like, I love this. You know, and so when we hear that term, you have not obeyed my voice, we think of it in terms of you have not, you know, they didn't keep all of his commands. They were breaking commandments. They're breaking the law. They're not doing all of these things. They weren't doing everything just right. And it opened up the door for the Midianites to be able to come in and do that. But check this out. He says, I told you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. What command did they not obey? This one, this command, he said, this is the deal. You have not obeyed my voice when I told you don't fear, don't worship, don't respect the gods of the Amorites. And so because they had an altar that was built, I mean, they had built an idol, they built an altar to Baal and all of that kind of thing. This tells us what the source of their, or what the reason why they built the altar to Baal. They built it because they built it out of fear, not out of faith. They built the altar to these false gods because they were afraid that if they didn't, I mean, you know, let's just be on the safe side. Like, I know God delivered us and I know Jehovah's the one that, but there might still be this other God that's out there. So let's be on the safe side and let's make sure that we're cutting off every avenue, you know, and so it's okay for us to build. So because I'm afraid of what this God Baal might do to me, then I need to build an altar to that. I'm going to have respect for that. And guys, I want to tell you that this is happening in Christians' lives today. We have built altars in our lives to ways of doing things. We have built altars in our lives to certain theologies, certain doctrines, certain men, certain movements, we've built that, and there's a fear that says that if I move from that, we built altars in our life even to the devil, and you would say, no, I have not, I would never do that. But the question is do you have fear concerning what the devil can do to you? Do you have fear concerning that if I don't pray enough, if I don't go to church, if I don't, and look, I say go to church. That's a good thing for you. We grow, right, together. But if our fear, see, if all of our actions and the things that we have done is out of fear that something bad is going to happen in our life, or out of fear that I'm the one that's stopping the flow of God into my life or whatever, you know, and it's fear and it's fear and it's fear. We've done exactly what the children of Israel have done.
Amen.
See? And their fear empowered, get it? their worship, their fear to this other god, or their fear of, empowered now their own destruction. Job said, the thing which I've greatly feared has come upon me. And so some of the things that we've been talking about is that over in 1 John chapter 4, that it says that there is no fear in love. And if you fear, you've not been made perfect in love. Because perfect love casts out all fear. In other words, my responsibility as a believer isn't to cast the fear out. And sometimes what we'll do is we will say, in the name of Jesus, fear, I command you to go. In the name of Jesus, you know, and we'll get very authority driven because we're dealing with fear in our lives. And see, what I'm talking about is you've got the goods, you've got everything that you need to go out and be effective in your world. But sometimes fear will keep us from doing that. Fear of man, fear of what people will think. Fear, and so what that simply means is that we haven't been made perfect in love. What love? God's love for us, and God's love to us, and God's love through us. My responsibility isn't to cast out the fear. My responsibility is to receive the love of God. And once I am firmly rooted in His delivering power, His empowering power, it changes everything in my life. I want my heart to be so fixed in the grace of God, so fixed in the love of God, that now that nothing causes me to act a different way because now I'm responding out of fear. See, you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of things I could talk about there, but that's not really the focus of this for a moment. So the angel of the Lord, verse 11, came and sat under a tree, and it belonged to Joash the Abizarite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So here he was, he's threshing the wheat in a winepress so that he could hide because he didn't want it to be destroyed. And so check this out, the angel of the Lord. And by the way, Gideon did not know this was an angel of the Lord. There's just this man he did not know that showed up and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now here's Gideon hiding, threshing the wheat. "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And here we find out that Gideon was from the south. The very next phrase, he says, "Oh, my Lord." Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Ooh. So where's God? Oh yeah, if God's with us, have we ever said that? You're gonna run into people that's gonna say that to you. Now you gotta be ready for this. Whew. Man, I thank you, Jesus. Listen. I've already told you, you've got the goods. But you've got to also know how to deal with people who don't know this truth. So I want you to think about this, not as am I Gideon? Guys, you are a mature church. You are a mature people of God. Okay? And so I don't want you to take it as, man, I feel like that I've done that. Where's God? God, where are you in my situation? God, where are you? Now, we're moving from place of foundation to the place of full maturity in the things of God. But you've got to recognize now, I'm teaching you how to share the gospel with others. All right? So, because when you go to others and when you speak to others, you don't come down to their level and speak to them based on their circumstances. Because that's not what God did. God didn't say, "Oh, you poor, pitiful man. Oh, it's so terrible what you're having to go through. Oh my goodness, you're having to hide yourself. Mm-mm. God always talked to him based on what was in him and what God had called him to be. He started from the place of victory. He started from the place of love. He started from the place of completion, of calling. When you speak to people, you don't look at them based on where they're at. You look at them based on who they are and who what, and the potential that's in them in Christ Jesus. Somebody's dealing with family problems. You just say, listen, honey, you've got the peace of God. You have the grace of God to be a mother to those children, to be a wife to your husband, and you start speaking to them the truth about them. Now, if they're not saved, you say, listen, God has called you into greater things. God has made every possibility available for you to experience victory. Let me tell you about this Jesus, because all of that comes out of him. See, that's your starting place. So many times we try to get down to their level, and God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, so my ways are higher than your ways. And what's he doing? He's trying to elevate us to his way of thinking. Well, then we have to do the same thing to those that we go to. See? And so here he says, why is this happening? Where's God? Where's all the miracles which our fathers told us about? Where is all that? Yeah, I heard about Egypt, but I didn't experience Egypt. You know, sometimes people can say, yeah, I wish it was like it was in the days of Smith Wigglesworth. I wish it was like in the days, you know, of the great healing evangelist. You know, let's go back to, I've heard about those, but where's the miracles? Where is all of that? He's looking at himself the wrong way. Our fathers told us about, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now, obviously, God has forsaken us. And he's delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So where's the blame? He's putting the blame on God. He's putting the blame on God. God allows these things to happen. God's causing me to go through this for some purpose of his own that I may grow. God, we're going to deal with this thing. I want you to see verse 14. The angel's response, oh, I'm so sorry, Gideon, that you feel this way. Gideon, I see how you can feel that way. Gideon, I understand you're going through a trying time. I understand the pain that you're going through right now. Gideon, do you see God responding to him that way?
No chance.
What I see is a God that completely ignored what he just said. Then the Lord turned to him and said, so go in this might of yours. And you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? He didn't even pay attention to the complaining, to the low self-image, because what Gideon was saying was not in agreement with what God has already said about him. And so that tells us that my belly aching and my complaining and my worrying isn't getting anywhere to the throne room of God. He is not listening to that, because he responds to those that will receive his love and receive it by faith.
Amen.
The bigness of your problem doesn't determine how much God is going to move in your life. Your trust in him is going to determine how much of the kingdom of heaven you're going to experience in your life. So we grow up. And so here God says, so go in this might of yours. What might? The might he just talked about. He just said. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, a husband. And the wife is talking, And you turn around and you say, well, what did you say? Or my wife would say, are you listening to me? Yes, honey, I'm listening. Well, then what did I just say? It was good. I mean, it's just like God wasn't even listening. Go in this might of you. You shall have I not sent you? Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. But what I want to say, Doug, would you come back up here, please? Is that, and then I'm going to ask, let's see, Chad, since you're standing, would you come up here, please? You stand over there. Right, about right there. That's good. Chad, you stand right there. Thank you, sir. Okay. So here I am. So here I am wanting to become this man. Right? I'm going after it. And he keeps moving. You know, it's elusive. It's elusive. And I never get there. Why? Because I see myself as lacking. I see myself as less than. I see myself as skinny, puny, weak. I see that man as strong, big, and that's where I want to be. And so I keep reaching for that, and I'm looking at the wrong place. Where I should be looking, because see, here he says, have I not sent you? That's a past tense phrase. I have already sent you. God's told Abraham, I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made you. And so God deals in that which has been declared about us, not in what is going to be declared about us. And we're trying to get to a place of being, of something, of God doing something in my life, of God changing me in my life, of eventually getting there. And where I should be looking is back to here, to 2,000 years ago, to Jesus on the cross. And I should be looking to what He's done, and I should be looking to what has been declared about me. And when I believe... And when I believe that, here, come over here. When I come here, come with me. When I get to this place with where I'm looking and I look to Jesus, what happens is we get joined together, and what happens is I miraculously turn into this because I'm looking to Him. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I can never get here on my own. I can never do this by myself. But it's not about what I do, and it's not about the hoops that I jump through to try to get to that place in my life. Woo, come on. It's about what Jesus has done. And when I get in Him, all of this comes into play. Come on. Thank you, guys. We're pointing people to Jesus. We're not saying you need to become this. We're saying He's made you this. And the moment that I believe, I receive that. Now, let's go all the way back to 1 John chapter 5. Let me bring this to a close. It's a very simple thought and a very simple concept this morning. But I need you, 1 John chapter 2. That's where we were. Thank you, Father. My little children, verse 1, my little children, I write these things to you so that you will not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Now get this. Check this out. We read this scripture, we can read it wrong. We can read it separated. I've done this, and here's Jesus pleading my case on my behalf. And so I'm just going to beg Jesus for forgiveness so that it's all taken care of. Wrong mindset. I sinned. I made a mistake. But I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, you've got to connect this with Hebrews chapter 12 that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Hold your finger there. Let's just look at it, because this makes this connects the whole deal. In verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 12, we've come to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits, and to the spirits, and to the spirits of just men that have been made perfect. That's a past tense thing. We are now, because once we receive what Jesus has done, we have now come to the same general assembly, the church, to the body of Christ of just men whose spirits have been made perfect. That's what it says. So I'm not trying to attain perfection. I've already been made perfect in my spirit man. Why? Because I'm joined to Jesus, and He is perfect, and He is holy, and He is righteous. And so we're told, Paul says that now Jesus is made unto me sanctification. Jesus is made unto me righteousness. It's not that I've made myself righteous. It's not that I've made myself holy. Jesus has done that. My identity now is in Him. Get this. And we've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And here it is, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Jesus is speaking about you. It says things about you. The next verse says, so see that you refuse not, the next verse, verse 25, see that you do not refuse Him who speaks. Don't refuse what God is saying. Now go back to 1 John. So He says that we have an advocate, verse 1, 1 John 2, 1, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus Christ, the righteous. I am in Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so as He is, the Bible says, so are we in this world. And so what it is not that Jesus is pleading my case on my behalf. Jesus is simply declaring who I am. When I recognize I'm in Him, look at the next verse. Verse 2. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, I recognize that His sacrifice once and for all did it, took care of it. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. So I want to take you through a progression. I did this Wednesday night and by the Spirit of God, and I'm telling you, so powerful. So when we get sick, a lot of times us great charismatic, Holy Ghost-filled people, what we do is we'll go to a scripture. Our go-to scripture is 1 Peter 2, 24. By His stripes we were healed. We can all say that, right? But how many of us quote the rest of the verse? How many of us quote the rest of the verse? Let's look at it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Because what we tend to do is we want to take a... let's see, how do we... We want to look at the Word of God, get this, the Word of God as a contractual agreement between two parties. That's right. Now, God made an agreement, and it's called covenant, amen, with us and with Jesus Christ. Well, with Jesus Christ, and we get to be the recipients of that because that's where the covenant is. But I'm not going to get into that. But here's the deal. if my Christian experience is only based on covenant and only based on a contractual agreement, I can have an agreement with John. We can be in two different businesses, and I can have a partnership or an agreement with him and no relationship. I can hold him to his end of the agreement. I can hold the bank to their end of the agreement, but have no relationship with them. Amen. And so if my Christian life is based on a contractual arrangement, then I have really lowered what God originally intended for me. If I'm just going to God and say, God, you said you would do this in my life, and so I'm holding you to your word because that's what the contract says. Well, God will do that because God is not a man that he should lie, and God loves performing his word for his children. But you miss out on the richness of the relationship because we're called to be sons. We're called to be children of the Most High God. And my son doesn't call me and says, Dad, you got to pay my school this month because you promised me you would. So you do what you promised me. He doesn't act that way towards me. I have a relationship with him. Hey, Dad, tuition's coming up. Yeah. Okay, son, I'll take care of it. Told you I would. Hey, Dad, is it okay for me to transfer money to pay rent this month? Yeah, absolutely, son. See, the relationship, it's not a contract for me. See, check this out. So instead of going and saying, by whose stripes you were healed, contract, God said that he would do this. How about I look at the relationship side of this? Who himself. What am I doing? I'm now looking at what Jesus did. And I'm not looking at what Jesus did out of a contractual obligation. I'm looking at what Jesus did out of his love. Right. I'm now seeing something. See, the Bible says faith works by love. I'm now looking at this. And this is so important you get this, because if you get this, then you'll get everything else that God's already given you that empowers you to go out and be a witness for him. Himself bore my sins in his own body on the tree. So what does that mean? Sickness didn't exist in this world until sin came into the world. And so Jesus didn't come to deal with the fruit. He came to deal with the root. I think it was Gerald that asked me that question. He said, is this a right thing to say that Jesus dealt with the root? And when he dealt with the root, it also dealt with the fruit of it. I'm like, that's awesome. That's exactly right. He dealt with the root of sickness, which ultimately was sin. First, I don't have time to develop this, but thank you, Father. I will do this. Listen, let me tell you why this is so important. Because if you look to what you're doing and you say, I deserve what's happening in my life because of what I'm not doing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you continue to live a lifestyle of sin and you continue to experience blessing. No, this is all about identity. Sin, when it's finished, will create death in your life. The Bible is very, very clear about this. All right? But how do you deal with it properly? See, your identity, you can't have bitter and sweet coming from the same spring. That's James chapter 3. See, we start living now, our life now is conformed to what God has said. Why? Because Jesus lives on the inside of us. I'm now yielding to his influence in my life in every area. Amen. All right, I'm not continuing to live my own way. I'm not saying, you know what, I just want God to bless me in the midst of my sin. I don't even think that way. But the answer isn't trying to fix the sin, because Romans chapter 6 says, what shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? The answer for it is understanding your identity. Amen. Now, this is so important. Look at this. Let's go back and pull that scripture back up. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The first thing that I do when, if I'm dealing with sickness, is I don't go to the sickness. I want to make sure that I have dealt with righteousness first. And that my heart is assured of righteousness. Why? Because the kingdom of God, oh, this is so good. The kingdom of God is established in righteousness. Amen. The healing power of God flows out of the kingdom of God that flows out of an understanding of righteousness. It starts there. We're trying to go after a remedy instead of getting into the source that the remedy comes out of. The fountain of healing flows out of a heart of righteousness. Can I just say it that way? So now I'm not just talking about Jesus heal me, Jesus do this, Jesus, right, what I'm doing is I'm starting at this place, Himself bore my sins. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You. Right now, before I even deal with the sickness, before I even deal with the pain, Father, I thank You that Jesus, You bore every one of my sins. Every one of my mistakes, every one of my wrong choices, every one of my rebellious acts, You bore that. And not only did You bear that, You bore the judgment for it. For this purpose, look at the next thing. That's number one, recognizing He bore it all. Check the next thing out. Let's pull it back up. That we, this is the reason why, that we, having died to sins. We've died to sin. Yeah. We've died to sin. Doug, come here. We've died to sin, guys. I no longer see myself as this guy that hasn't got his act together. When I'm telling you right now, this transformed my life. This transformed Jennifer's life. I'm not looking at myself as somebody that's trying to get to a day that I'm not sinning anymore. That I'm not... Here, flex that for me. No, I'm just kidding. That I'm not... See? Because to do that, to look to a day, is a wrong view of myself. Because this says He bore all of my sin on His body on the tree that now I have. That's past tense. Gideon, he's talked to me. He's saying, the angel of the Lord is saying, you have. You are a mighty man of valor. You are made righteous. You are in the presence of God. You are holy. You have been chosen before the foundation of the world. You are a son of God. You now have the Spirit of God. You are free from sin. You don't sin anymore. He that is, go back to the first scripture, 1 John chapter 5. He that is born of God doesn't sin. It's not saying that to prove that you're born of God, you don't sin. It's saying that because of the nature on the inside of you, He has now made me and empowered me to live the life of righteousness. I'm no longer trying to become this man. I am this man. Jesus has already made me that in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Doug. So He says, He bore my sins. Number two, that we being dead to sin. I've got to see myself, believe about myself. Before I've ever moved to healing, I've got to see who I am in Christ.
That's right. That
we being dead to sin. Yeah, but you don't understand the addiction that I have. And listen, the same thing is true as you communicate this to other people. This is the freeing power of the gospel. God has done, not only is your sins forgiven, but you can live free from it and you're empowered to live the life that God has for you.
Amen.
You communicate that out of love. Would you like to be free from addiction? Would you like to be free as you're communicating this to people? Thank you, Father. But it's hard to communicate this when you don't believe it about yourself. Yeah, you can't give what you don't got. Now, you got it all, but you'll never experience it until you believe it.
That's right.
Because everything that God has given to you is experienced by faith. See, it's not just grace. It's grace and faith.
That's right. That's right.
You can't have one without the other.
That's right.
Now, and so we're dead to sin. Look at the next part. Let's pull it back up here on the screen. That we being dead to sin, I'll just go ahead and quote it as they're pulling it back up, might live unto righteousness. That we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. This is what is true about you. You're dead to sin. Why? Jesus took all of it. Again, He's still the source. For this purpose, that now that I'm dead to it, I can live for righteousness. Now He lives His life through me. That's just who I am. I'm not trying to get there. And then, now I can say, because of all of that, by whose stripes I was healed. It's all about what Jesus did. It's all about what He did. I start there. I allow the kingdom of heaven and the flow of healing to operate. See, I love that you can call for the elders of the, to pray for the sick. But you know, God's first choice in you receiving healing is this right here. It's not from the outside in.
Yeah.
And we will lay hands on you as much as you want to. And that's the body of Christ coming together to help. And you should never feel condemned or feel bad about asking somebody to pray for you. Because sometimes you just need help. We all need help. But I'm telling you, the day is being in a place that healing flows from the inside out. That the Spirit of God's giving life to your mortal bodies. So now, understanding this, now let's close it with, go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. Scripture I started out with. Thank you, Father. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. Is this helping you this morning? Because this is helping me, man. I'm telling you. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. Now, there's other translations that would indicate that this is capital, that he, Jesus, who was born of God, also guards us. And that we can rely on that. So we guard ourselves. We allow Him to guard our hearts. We do guard our hearts. That's important. For out of it flow the issues of life. And it says the wicked one does not touch Him. You can live in a place. You should live in a place. This isn't something that we're trying to get to. This is our identity as a child of God, that the wicked one doesn't touch us. So I said this last week. I don't live my life concerned about what the devil's doing. I don't live my life concerned about his attacks in my life. Because the Bible says that the shield of faith, what does the shield of faith do, guys? It quenches what? Every fiery dart of the wicked one. In other words, my faith in the love of God and who He is and who He's created me to be, just my faith in that is a shield that quenches every dart that would try to come in and affect me. I stay in this place of just, Jesus, this is who I am. And because of that, I can't be influenced by what Satan would try to bring my way at all. I can live free from that. I can live free in that. Now, don't take what I said this morning and say, okay, so that's what I want to do. Don't take what I said this morning and say, all right, I'm going to start implementing what Pastor Mark said. Take what I said this morning and say, that's who I am.
Amen.
Because even that, yeah, okay, I'm going to implement that this week. What have you just done? You've just said, okay, there's going to come a moment that I'm going to see. And even that can be a trap. This morning, right now. Come on, let's just receive from the Holy Spirit for a moment. Let's let our thoughts be changed. Let's let our mentality be changed. Let's take this word. Let's really get this understanding of righteousness so gripped in our heart that now we just simply live out of what we already have. We live out of the goodness of God. God is good. God is better than anything you could possibly imagine. He loves you more than you've ever experienced in your life. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, begin to speak to us. Speak to everybody here right now in Jesus' name. Who you've called them to be. Who you've created them to be. Who you've created all of us to be, your children, your sons, your daughters, joint heirs with Jesus. Our spirits are made perfect. We experience your righteousness. We experience your power. We experience your life in the measure that we're able to just believe what Jesus has already done for us, what he has already done in us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Right now, you have to make this decision in your heart. I'm going to believe this. I no longer see myself lacking. I no longer see myself struggling. If you've dealt with sin and you're dealing with addiction and you're dealing with, maybe some of you are here are dealing with direction in life. And you want to go one way, but you feel the Spirit of God saying, no, this is who you are. I need you to do this. I want you to do this. Child of God, he does that because he knows what's best for you. And he's trying to take you into a place that you can experience his life. And so the confusion happens when there's not a yielded heart. So let's yield. And I'm going to ask you to do this. It's a holy moment that if you know that there are areas in your life that you've put everything out to the future, that one day I'm going to get there, one day I'm going to yield, one day I'm going to do this, one day, and you say, I'm not going to be that way anymore, but I am now accepting what Jesus has said about me. I now am accepting what God, from this day forward, I see what God has said about me so that I can give this and allow the kingdom of God to flow through me to others. Would you just stand up and as an act of your faith, stand up and just come up forward. You're saying, I need to make this declaration. I want you to get out of your seat and let's just come up to the front here. We're all going to pray together. That the Spirit of God, you're using this, you know, it doesn't have to be everybody, I understand that. But for some of you, just doing this, making this step, is saying, I'm going to stop looking at myself the old way and I'm going to start looking at myself the new way. What Jesus has done, glory to God, glory to God.